Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I'd like to invite you to join me for a pilgrimage tour to France this September. It's based on my book, St. Benedict and St. Therese, The Little Rule and the Little Way. I'll be teaching about the spiritualities and the lives of these two great saints, and we'll be visiting the great monastery of Fleury, where St. Benedict's relics are venerated, and of course going to Lisieux to visit the childhood home of St. Therese, the Carmel where she was a nun, and the great basilica dedicated to her honor. But there's more than that. At Paris, we'll be visiting the Basilica of Sacré-Cœur, Rue de Bac with the Miraculous Medal, going on to Vézelay, Nevers with St. Bernadette, Paray-le-Monial, where the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus was given to St. Margaret Mary, and then Chartres Cathedral, Mont-Saint-Michel, the Normandy beaches, and more. I think there's not only going to be time for instruction and learning, but also prayer and worship, celebrating Mass in the various locations, and also time for fellowship and a good bit of French food and wine, too. Come and join us this September. If you'd like to know more, go to CatholicHeritageTours.com. That's CatholicHeritageTours.com, or be in touch with me through my website, DwightLongenecker.com.
Fellowship and love.
In this special audio cast, we're going to talk to a whistleblower who is currently in an undisclosed location. Let's just say it will be Pinteresting. So sit back and...
1, 2, 3!
Listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for an appetizing conversation with Eric Cochran, who is the Pinterest whistleblower. Is there collusion to affect the way we look at politics, the way we look at policies, and the way we look at the world? And is there some sort of big tech companies' approach to promoting a narrative or silencing voices? We sometimes think that, or at least the narrative today, is that Russia stole the election for Donald Trump. And while I couldn't care less, to be honest with you, what you think of Donald Trump, or if you hate him, love him, whatever, that doesn't even matter to me. The bigger question that people have is, how did he win this election? Did he win the election because people were somehow influenced on media and on social media by Russia to affect the way we voted? I find that a little hard to believe. But in hearing this conversation with Eric Cochran, I realize that there are influences that are way more powerful than us, normal citizens, who can either promote a narrative or silence voices, including the pro-life voice. I think the one thing that the pro-life group has got going for us right now is science and facts. But unfortunately, those scientific facts cannot actually get out to the people because there is an effort by the part of big tech companies to try to silence those voices. And so this is going to be a very interesting conversation with Eric Cochran, the Pinterest whistleblower. And we hope that you enjoy this deep dish discussion, which is brought to you by SelectInternationalTours.com. They are proud sponsors of the whole Plating Grace movement and this show because they lead us on pilgrimages for which they are passionate about, but they are also very compassionate to the pilgrim themselves. And if you want to learn more about all of their trips that I take with them, then you want to definitely visit my website at fatherleofeeds.com/travel or go directly to selectinternationaltours.com, 800-842-4842, and enjoy this deep dish discussion with Eric Cochran, the Pinterest whistleblower. And I kind of like saying it. It will be very Pinteresting.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for a deep dish discussion on an incredibly current topic. Usually I don't do current topics, and usually I don't like doing interviews with people on the phone, but this one definitely needs to be done, and it needs to be done on the phone simply because we don't know where this guy currently is. I'm speaking to Eric Cochran, who is the former software engineer for Pinterest and recently on the news as a whistleblower for censorship that Pinterest was doing against the Live Action Group. So first of all, Eric, thanks for joining me on the phone for the Shoot the Shiitake.
Thank you for having me.
So Eric, just real quick, to set up the scenario, one of my producers actually just got in touch with you, and I got in touch with you as well. And then you write back and you say that we actually met at a March for Life. This is kind of weird. Let's kind of replay all of this for our folks, because people may not even know what has been going on. I briefly interviewed Eric Cochran at the March for Life because he was from San Francisco in Washington, D.C. What were you doing at the March for Life?
At the March for Life, I and a few other people from a group called Pro-Life San Francisco, which is the Bay Area group of like millennials who do outreach pro-life activism. And we were at the March for Life showing up, reminding people that there are lots of people from all over the world and all over the nation who really, really care about the abortion issue right now.
And the reason why I was attracted in a way to this group is because you are from San Francisco. You're a big tech city, and it's incredibly, quote unquote, liberal. And with the liberal mentality, we see it all the time. They are truly pro-abortion. So I was just surprised to see you all there. And you explained to me that there actually was a good, solid group of pro-life Catholics or pro-life people, not even Catholics, in San Francisco, correct?
Yeah, that's totally true. In fact, our founder and executive director, Teresa Bukovniak, is actually the stereotypical, I guess, San Franciscan, vegan, atheist, feminist, Democrat, all the things. But she's pro-life, and it's because it's really just about the life issue for us. And the thing is, if we can change San Francisco, like I really view this as a very progressive issue about human rights. And if we can change San Francisco, we can change the entire nation and eventually the world.
Okay. And so we met literally, it might have been a 5 to 10 minute brief, quick conversation. You didn't know who I was. I didn't know who you were. It's a big city and it was a big gathering. A couple months later, as a matter of fact, 6 months to be exact, because the pro-life movement, the march is in January. 6 months later, the beginning of June, there's this humongous story that is popping about Pinterest, and they're seeming to block, or even worse, nominate pro-life groups as porn. So what I want to do for our audience is just kind of explain what's been going on. And I'm just going to give you kind of like the ability to just tell us what happened to the point where you're now kind of in hiding, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, this all started at Pinterest, where we were getting to be a bigger and bigger tech company. In fact, we IPO'd. We were about a $13 billion tech company when we initially had our public offering. And with becoming a bigger tech company, we were falling more and more into the hive mind and pressure from the media and pressure to be just like all the other big tech companies. And so I would hear more and more about our misinformation efforts. And I kind of knew what that meant. It was.
Let me ask you about that. You said you were hearing more and more about the misinformation tactics. You'd been with Pinterest for how long?
About 2 years.
And what were you doing before Pinterest? I mean, was this kind of like, you are pretty young, but was this your first job, or had you done tech software development in the past?
It was my second job. I went to school at Georgia Tech, and then I worked at a small startup working on their Android app. And then I went to Pinterest and also worked on the Android app on like the performance side of things, making things fast, very technical stuff.
Yeah, no, it sounds technical stuff. I mean, gosh, I should hire you. I can't afford you, I'm sure. But your whole position at Pinterest was to just make people get information quicker. And yet you said you were hearing things about misinformation tactics. I'd like to just focus on that word real quick. What does that mean? What does that look like? What does that sound like to you as an employee?
Yeah. So we'd have a lot of meetings where we'd cite like extreme examples. They would come up with some conspiracy theory that like maybe 0.5% of anybody in the world believes in. And they would say, this is misinformation. But then I would notice that we would dedicate more and more time to making all these tools and building out huge content safety teams in order to combat misinformation. And so at that point, I realized it wasn't just about the examples that they were citing publicly that they considered misinformation.
What would be some of, I mean, I know that there are some proprietary rights, but what do you mean? What would they do? What are the safety nets to prevent misinformation from coming out? What would be kind of like your role in all that, or what did they do?
Well, my role, I mean, I was a software engineer, so I was just making the Android app fast. But then as Project Veritas has now revealed in the documents that I gave to them, there are two main things. One is what we call the sensitive terms list. And this is a list of all terms that would be quietly hidden. So if you were on certain categories in the sensitive terms list, then you would be blocked from autocomplete, for example, in search, or it would not show up anywhere near an advertising pin, or it would be deranked in search or even hidden or silently removed from your search or home feed when you go onto Pinterest.
Let me break this down, because I'll be honest with you, I am not young and I'm the worst Asian ever. I suck at technology. I'm on social media, but I'm bad at it. I'm just bad at it. I'm just going to be very honest with you. So let's just break it down for our listeners here. Let's just, for example, I'm on Pinterest. I go to the app and I search for something, say like, you know, pro-life. What would be some of the tactics that Pinterest would do to direct someone's search?
Yes. Yeah. Direct someone's search is right. So for example, one of these terms was like Christian Easter. And so that meant that a term like that was considered sensitive. So when you go to search, it wouldn't show up in autocomplete. When you start typing like Christian things, then it wouldn't have regular terms that people are obviously searching for. And then when you search, then pins, which are basically like posts on Pinterest, would not show up in like the top search results there. They would be deranked.
Oh, okay. So if I wanted to, just break it down, because this is the example that you used. If I wanted to type in pro-life, first of all, the term pro-life, because this happens on Twitter for me all the time. I want to actually hashtag pro-life, and I would put P-R-O-L, and I would get everything under the sun except for pro-life as a hashtag, as a way for me to promote my post with other people who hashtag pro-life. And so you're saying that Pinterest did the exact same thing. If I wanted to type in pro-life, it wouldn't bring me to pro-life sites or pro-life groups?
I don't know specifically on the term pro-life. There are a lot of terms like Bible verses or Christian inspirational quotes, Christian Easter, a few of those terms.
And they would consider that sensitive. What does that even mean? When you say sensitive, they would think it's sensitive, that somehow it would be offensive if I looked up Christian Bible verses?
Right. So sensitive is kind of this doublespeak term. And it's really like, you would have other terms in this that were grossly offensive. So they're comparing things like Bible verses to really, really offensive words that are on the sensitive terms list.
Okay, I know that you would never use those terms. Maybe you might. I don't really care. But give me an example. For me, for our listeners, you would say Bible verses would be more sensitive than what?
Well, one of them was wetback. There are also a lot of cuss words that I don't know if you want me to say.
No, I mean, please do, because I just want to hear, like, if I were to type in these words, they would not be as sensitive as Christian Bible verse.
Yeah, shit sandwich is another example.
Okay, I guess a private company can do whatever it wants, correct? I mean, they can make their own determinations as to what's offensive, what's not offensive. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things here. One is it's a bit of false advertising here because there's no transparency. So nobody outside of the company knew what was on the sensitive terms list. So they don't even know what they're getting. They think they're using a neutral platform, but they're not. And then the other thing here is that they are considered a neutral platform. so that they're not responsible for the content that people post on there. But really what they are is an editorial publication, because they are editors of the content that gets to go on to Pinterest. And the other big thing that was really the shocker beyond the sensitive terms list is that there is this secret porn domain block list where they would add all of these really, there's thousands, maybe tens of thousands of these porn sites. So of course, you know, they don't want that. And that's part of the public policy, no porn on Pinterest. And so they would block you from posting or linking to any of these porn sites. And that's all good and fine. But then on this porn domain block list, secretly hidden in there were some mainstream conservative sites, the biggest being Live Action. There were also a few others like Zero Hedge and PJ Media and some news sites. But Live Action was really the big one, because for anybody in the pro-life movement, you know that Live Action is one of the biggest pro-life organizations out there and changes people's minds and is really, really effective. But if you go onto Pinterest right now today and try to make a pin that links to any Live Action story or liveaction.org at all, you can't do it. In fact, it'll give you an unrelated error message. It'll just say something like, oops, that didn't work. And you won't know what's wrong. And again, this comes back to the idea of transparency. They're acting like there's just some kind of network error or something like that. You don't really know what's wrong, but they're secretly preventing you from linking to Live Action. And then after this story came out, they outright banned Live Action's account from Pinterest, and they told Live Action that they are engaged in immediate misinformation that has an immediate impact on their users' health and the public safety.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so a couple quick things about that. When did you start realizing that this was happening?
Well, this was where I would say a few months ago, where we started having more and more like all hands meetings. And Pinterest is about 2,000 people employed at Pinterest. And we would these meetings kind of to everybody. They're just saying like, we're ramping up these misinformation efforts. We got to get rid of these conspiracy theories. And so it all sounded fine. And they would say they would be like, we have to get rid of things that have a health impact, like anti-vaccination posts. And I was like, okay, you know, I agree, maybe. Like, you know, we gotta take care of some misinformation and things that might hurt people. But then I realized like we were talking about it more and more, and I was like, this isn't just about literal misinformation. And then when I started looking into what was on the sensitive terms list, and then when I happened to see the porn domain block list, I realized that this was much bigger. I realized that this had a political agenda, and even an agenda in favor of the abortion lobby.
Okay, I just, as we were talking, I signed up for Pinterest. I've never been on Pinterest in my life. I typed in Live Action, and the first thing that came up was Live Edge Table, even though Live A should come before Live E, Edge. So it came up second. But then when I did hit on it, it now gives me Live Action Pro-Life Group, Life Organization, Live Rose, Live Action Pro-Life Band. I click on it, and it does give me access now to some things on Live Action. So have they changed?
No. So actually, there's been a great campaign by the Susan B. Anthony List and Students for Life and others that have been posting about Live Action on Pinterest to uprank it in searches and such. But you'll notice that Live Action's account, their actual user account, is not there because it's been banned. And you'll notice if you try to create a pin that links that goes to the URL liveaction.org or any link that goes to liveaction.org, then you won't be able to. You'll get a funny error message. And you'll notice that any pins that exist on the site, none of those pins can actually link out to liveaction.org. They can just like reference it in pictures, which is what Students for Life and Susan B. Anthony List and others are doing right now.
All right. What we're going to do is we're going to come back. We're going to try to figure out a little bit more of this and learn a little bit more about you and figure out what social media is doing to make us less social. So we'll be returning with Eric Cochran, former Pinterest software engineer and recent whistleblower featured on major networks because of this Pinterest being, gosh, an activist for pro-abortion groups. We'll return with more Shoot the Shiitake in just a moment. As we are speaking about social media, I just want to invite people to learn more about all of the social media efforts that we take at Plating Grace. So you can always find us at my website, fatherleofeeds.com. And if you look at the upper corners of the homepage, you'll find how you can stay in touch with us on whether it be Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And then I also even do some LinkedIn. But if you have not yet done so, please subscribe to our free email blasts, which are experiencing a whole makeover. We're making it a lot more easy for people who are premium subscribers to access premium and exclusive content. So if you also want to stay in touch with us and to support all of our efforts to get the good news out into the world, bringing conversions one conversation at a time, please support us at patreon.com/fatherleofeeds. Again, that's patreon.com/fatherleofeeds. Welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake. I've got Eric Cochran, former Pinterest software engineer. In the break, I walked through the whole step of trying to register a pin and link it to liveaction.org, and I took a picture of it. It says, sorry, your request could not be completed. Is that what you're talking about? And what is that actually called? What is that tactic called?
Yeah, so that is what I'm talking about. And the thing here is the original intention, this is because Live Action was put on this porn domain block list. They called it porn. And the original intention behind this is that users then who are trying to create bad links, they're trying to put bad things on Pinterest, they don't want those users to know the reason why that's happening. So that's why you get this weird error message, doesn't make sense. But the thing is, for legitimate sites like liveaction.org, a pro-life site, that obviously is not porn.
No, it's certainly not porn. But hold on a second, though. When we're talking about them trying to protect things, the word action itself and the word live, you put it together and it could be like people videotaping their sex escapades and just posting it, you know, on there. I mean, I can see how stuff like that could be viewed as porn.
That would be a normal cause of concern. But then in the Project Veritas report, actually, from the documents that I found, because I thought, yeah, you know, it could have just been some mistake, like always give the benefit of the doubt. But then in the commit message, where basically where somebody went to add liveaction.org to the list, first they said it was for reasons of health. And then there was actually a Slack message, which is a messaging board, like internal, like how employees at Pinterest talk to each other. And where somebody says, hey, liveaction.org is on the porn domain block list and it's not porn, but I don't think it should be removed. And so these employees actually agreed. They actually stated they know it's not porn, but they still added it to the porn domain block list. And then before the Project Veritas story came out, for about an hour or two, they removed it from the porn domain block list because they thought the story was going to blow over. But then they doubled down once the full story came out, and they actually, when they added it back to the porn domain block list, they labeled it as misinformation, and they even told Live Action in their email when they banned their account that Live Action spreads misinformation and has an immediate health impact on Pinner's safety. So it is certainly no mistake. And the thing is, like, when users get this error message, they might think like, oh, it's just a fluke. Oh, there's just some mistake or a bug in the software or something. But then here's the proof of not only the reason why it happens from the Pinterest backend, from the Pinterest software, but then also the motivations of the employees who added it to this block list.
Okay, so you mentioned a couple things here. One was Project Veritas, and then you're talking about the interest of Live Action. I want to get some clarifications on it. So what is your relationship to Project Veritas? Are you one of their reporters, undercover reporters? I mean, did you go into Pinterest with the desire to find out if they were, you know, committing nefarious activity against pro-lifers or conservatives?
Absolutely not. So I'm just a normal software engineer who actually was hoping to stay away from all the politics of big tech by going to Pinterest. I was really hoping that Pinterest wasn't going to be like the big tech companies. Had no interaction with Project Veritas or anything like that. And I was the source. So in about late March, I contacted Project Veritas with information about this story. And I was the insider source from within Pinterest.
Okay. And just going to ask a couple questions because we don't know how this all works. You become a source for Project Veritas. Did you kind of feel like a spy at that point? I mean, were you looking? Did you start looking for it?
Right. So then when I started seeing more wrongdoing, I started seeing more of this hypocrisy from within Pinterest, more of this type where we've got a certain public policy that doesn't match the internal implementation, then I started looking more and more into it. So yeah, at that point, I was willing to risk it all to find out what was really going on.
And when you say you risk it all, does Project Veritas provide you with financial support to do this work, or are you doing this for a greater cause, truth, namely?
Yeah, to be very clear, no financial, nothing like that. I was not paid or anything like that. I was 100% a source. And yeah, and I did this because people had the right to know. Like when these tech companies are doing all of this censorship behind these dark doors in Silicon Valley, and they think they're so much smarter than the rest of America that they just need to clean up all this misinformation so that America doesn't think the wrong way, then people have the right to know. People need to know what kinds of platforms they're actually using.
In Project Veritas, they have been questioned. Their own authority and their own reputation has been besmirched many, many times by their political opponents. Let's just call it what it is. It's politics, really. I mean, do you trust them? I mean, are they good journalists? Are they truly promoting the other side of the story? Or are they just doing exactly what Pinterest would do, try to influence people's understanding of things by controlling information or presenting misinformation? How honest do you think Project Veritas is?
Well, you don't have to believe any of my word for it. You can actually see the documents. You can download the data dumps right from the Project Veritas report. And you can even see that Pinterest now has not denied any of this. In fact, they've doubled down. They've actually had to state publicly that they believe that live action is misinformation. And as far as Project Veritas, the reason Project Veritas gets attacked is because they're actually one of the few journalistic outlets out there. You'll notice that the New York Times doesn't want to do undercover journalism. You'll notice the Washington Post doesn't want to do undercover journalism. In fact, they're buddy buddies with all the establishment. Big media establishment folks are really just friends at this point with big government and big tech folks and higher ups. And the reason I went to Project Veritas is actually because they're willing to challenge the status quo.
And live action in particular, you were at the pro-life march, so you obviously have a pro-life bend in you. That's perfectly fine. Anyone's allowed to do that. Do you have any connections with live action? Are you a paid employee by them? Do you benefit financially or in any other way from the support of live action or giving the support to live action?
I am not paid in any way. My only job that pays was at Pinterest as a software engineer, and that was my sole income.
Okay, so this is kind of interesting because what you just described was true. I just tried to become a Pinterest pinner for liveaction.org, and I got this thing that says error can't happen. But I mean, for me, that's not, well, hold on a second. It is a big deal for me. I'm actually pissed off that that happens. But for many people, they might not even care. They might be like, oh, it's fine. I'll just post someplace else, or I'll just like link to some other site. But you feel that that's a real grave issue. That is a real problem. Why? I mean, who cares if live action can't be connected to Pinterest? Who actually cares, do you think?
This is a really great question. So even though Pinterest has about 300 million monthly active users around the world, still, it's Pinterest. So you might think, oh, it's just Pinterest. It's just a $13 billion, hundreds of millions of user big tech company. But the thing is, Silicon Valley, having worked in there, I can tell you it's a hive mind. These folks are talking to each other. And where one tech company goes, they all go. We're going to see as one tech company, then labels live action and pro-life content as one tech company falls in line with the abortion industry, they will all go that way. The thing is, one tech company can do, and then all the other, you can see Facebook and YouTube and Twitter, they will be able to cite this example in their own misinformation efforts. And that's really scary. And that's why pro-lifers right now really have to speak out while they still have the chance. And that's why insiders inside these big tech companies can go to projectveritas.com/brave and expose the censorship that's going on inside of these tech companies before it's too late. Because these tech companies think they have all the power.
Yeah, well, they do have all the power. And do you think that that's the reason why, say, leftist groups, the liberal media, or even liberals or Democrats, socialists in general, are still talking about the Trump collusion with Russia? Because they think that if Russia can manipulate social media, that that really affects change. I mean, do you think that that's the reason why they're freaking out? Because, like, to be honest with you, who I voted for had nothing to do with what I found on social media. You know, but do you think that people's actions in their lives are affected that much by social media? Are people that brainwashed that if they can't link up to live org, that that's going to make a big difference in their life?
Well, I think that these big tech companies do understand that a lot of information is spread across social media. And so there was this whole laissez-faire kind of free marketplace of ideas across these platforms before, where people could share stories outside of the establishment media and outside of the establishment narrative.
Establishment narrative. Do you think there is one, a real establishment narrative? And what do you think it is?
Oh, there absolutely is. The establishment narrative is that people in the middle of the country don't really know what they're doing, and they need to be told by the elites, the high IQ people in big tech need to tell them what the truth is. And it's also the abortion lobby is absolutely the establishment narrative, and it's where the money is.
Why does social media care so frickin' much about abortion? How did Planned Parenthood literally become the most important institution other than the president of the United States? What is it about them? What have you been able to figure out?
I'd say, you know, 90% of people go with whatever the status quo is, and they'll just fight to prevent change. And of course, the status quo right now is in favor of the abortion lobby in the United States. And then 10% of the people really don't value human life. They think that humans, instead of creators in the earth, they believe that humans are drains on the earth.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've seen those videos of these spiritualist people who are talking to these spiritual beings, and they just all would basically want to eliminate life on Earth, on the planet. This is all incredibly interesting. I just want to ask you just two more brief questions. What, first of all, are you doing now? I mean, can I ask that question? I know you'd rather not talk about where you live, and I can understand why, because, I mean, are you kind of like public enemy number one to Pinterest? Do they hate you? From what I understand, they just walked up to you and a guard escorted you out, correct?
Yes. Yeah. When the story broke, they somehow were able to decipher who had leaked what, and three security guards escorted me out and locked all access to everything. And I think Pinterest would really like the story to go away, as well as all of big tech would prefer that nothing happen. But of course, a lot of people were justly outraged. So Pinterest mostly wants it to go away. But yeah, I, as far as like what's next, I'm pretty much going day by day. And as I've said before, this is the moment, especially for the pro-life cause. The reason this is ramping up so much, the reason that this story was so big, and actually was the very first time that YouTube censored and removed a Project Veritas video report, the reason this issue is so big is because it's the abortion issue. And because they know that Roe v. Wade is going away, even beyond the 2020 elections, which the tech companies are very, very concerned about, it's the abortion issue. And they know that fight's coming. And so as far as what I'm going to do, I want my life dedicated to real meaning beyond just the normal tech comforts of San Francisco and Silicon Valley. And I want to dedicate my life to pro-life activism.
What do your parents think about all of this? Are they like, what the hell? My son's on the freaking news right now. You know, like, what do they think when they saw you on the news?
My parents are very supportive. My brother, in fact, is the president of Students for Life at Georgia Tech right now. And so we're a very pro-life family, and they were definitely shocked that this was going on. The thing is, a lot of people see this stuff from the outside on tech companies. Like, they're kind of suspicious that stuff is getting censored and everything, but they haven't really seen real proof. They're not really sure. And then when, like, this story came out with the hard proof, then they were like, wow, it was pretty shocking to them.
Dude, am I going to, like, put a bigger X on my forehead when I put this show out and hashtag Pinterest? I mean, is Pinterest going to be like, who the hell is this shoot the shiitake nonsense? And who's this Father Leo? We're going to screw with him hard. I mean, is that going to happen? Because I'll be honest with you, I know that happens on my Twitter page all the time. I'm constantly being blocked from having followers follow me. They take away my followers all the time. I mean, I have a reach altogether of about 150,000, maybe 200,000 people. That's nothing. In the grand scheme of things, I get it. That's nothing. But it's something to me, and it's something where, you know, like, a reach is a reach. Am I going to have a big X on my forehead now because of my interview with you? Are you screwing me over, Eric Cochran, basically?
Well, I think whatever they do, they won't want it to be loud. They won't want to outright ban you, but they might. In fact, we've seen Tim Pool, who's actually a leftist but very fair journalist, even just talk about the Project Veritas report and these leaks, and his video was removed by YouTube. And Steven Crowder, who's on the right, interviewed James O'Keefe, the founder of Project Veritas, and me, and his video on YouTube got a privacy violation. The Project Veritas videos were censored, and the original report was removed from YouTube. Yeah, this is definitely, it seems that they definitely don't want this story to go out, and they are targeting. I mean, we already have seen historically now they're targeting people who even talk about it.
It's been a couple weeks since the story came out. I hear less of it every day. So in a way, by me keeping it going on my minuscule platform, so to speak, I'm probably contributing to their angst. And that's not a problem because, look, anyone should be able to say what they want. And to label something as misinformation, it's incredibly unfortunate if it's not misinformation. So if it's misinformation, that's fine. Maybe they could just put a warning on there that says, we cannot guarantee the veracity of this video. You know, watch at your own risk.
And they should at least be transparent with what they believe is misinformation. This was really the big thing of the story, is that then they had to come out and publicly say that we think that live action and pro-life views are misinformation. Mainstream American values are misinformation. And at least they had to say that publicly now.
So last question here, Eric. And by the way, for all of our premium subscribers, I'm going to actually engage Eric on a deeper conversation about his pro-life desires, even his faith. I know nothing about your faith. I think that you're a sincere person. Your brother and your family are very invested in pro-life. We're actually going to hear more about that for our premium subscribers. All you got to do is go to patreon.com/fatherleofeeds. So, but my last question to you, Eric, before I let you go, we don't know each other except for, like, literally a brief encounter. We talked on the phone maybe 5 minutes before this interview. What can I do to be a good priest for you? Whether I agree with you or not, how can I be a good priest for you?
The biggest thing right now is encourage people to speak out, because this is the watershed moment. This is where we need more insiders coming forward and bringing transparency to big tech, because I really believe in a few months, we might not have that opportunity. The censorship, as Roe v. Wade goes away, is going to ramp way up. So encourage more people, projectveritas.com/brave. To tell their stories.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Eric Cochran, former Pinterest software engineer and now known as a whistleblower. And Eric, I'm going to wish you all the best. Thanks for taking time. And when I return, I'm going to give you my carryout order, ladies and gentlemen. Hearing what I heard, what did I learn? What can I carry away from this when I return with more Shoot the Shiitake in just a moment. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for my carryout order, having discussed some real interesting things with Eric Cochran. Again, I want to thank him for joining me on the show and interviewing with me. You know, he was on all of the major, his name and his face was on all the major news networks. And so, hey, he joins my show with, I don't know, a reach of I can't tell you how many I reach, really. But I know with all of the social media combined, I get to about, you know, 150 to close to 170,000 followers. And honestly, that's not that many at all. But I would be mad if I knew that I wasn't able to connect with my audience because there was somebody out there in the social media worldwide web world kind of blocking my access to the people or having the people be blocked to gain access from me. And basically what Eric has shared with me, and this is one of my carryout orders, is that we don't know much about technology. And I'll be the first to admit, I'm not that great at technology. I'm really not at all. And some people think, oh, but you're all over the place. Yeah, it's not me. It's people who help me to do it. You know, I first had, there was a management company that helped me with some things. And then I realized, you know what, I've got to start doing things on my own. So I started to take the initiative on my own. But I'll be honest, I need help to do it because I just don't know all the technology. There is so much going on technologically that even the people who were good at technology before are struggling to keep up now. And who manages that? And it's just, it made me think of how God created the world, but man almost controls it, at least the social media world. Whether it be artificial intelligence or whether it be technology, there is something very unique about what man can do. But one of the things that makes us different from God is that God is actually, he gives us the freedom to do things. God gives us the freedom to say stupid things or to say words of grace. God gives us that permission. Humanity, because we're not God, we sometimes love to limit those voices. We sometimes like to tell people what they need to believe or what they need to accept as truth, even though we know there is, quote unquote, even fake news in spiritual matters. And how does man get the ability to control the thoughts of other humans? It's money. So we're talking about a lot of money here. You know, Eric Cochran, he talked about, he didn't tell me exactly what he makes, but he makes well over six figures. That is insanity. I mean, first of all, you need that. That's just kind of like the living wage out there in La La Land or in San Francisco's Tech Valley area. I mean, it's just incredibly expensive. But these people are making a lot of money. And it just shows how much money is involved in controlling people's minds, which is why one of my other carryout orders, I pray every day not to be controlled by money. Not to be, which is why I'm kind of begging people, you know, these days as I separated from my previous management and now doing things on my own, I'm in need of support financially to support the work that I do with the Table Foundation and such. And so when people support us, I want to make sure that they're not pitying me, but they are paying for a service because, be honest with you, not too many priests actually have a food and faith ministry. I mean, I've met some, but mine has grown to, quote unquote, at least international status where I'm traveling around the country and around the world promoting the good news through faith and food. But you know what? It takes money. And we operate on a shoestring basis. And so any support that people give to us, it's all going to go to try to bring about the freedom to have conversations with people, which a lot of people want to control. What does this take? Money. But let's make sure that money doesn't control us, that money doesn't control us. But there is something else that I took away from this conversation. How does the pro-life movement grow? For sure, it will grow on social media. We need to have a voice and a presence on social media, which is why this story has been so fascinating for me and hopefully for you. But you know what really makes the effect? Where did I meet Eric Cochran the first time? I met him face to face at the March for Life. In other words, while we certainly need our presence on social media, we need personal presence. We need to make a voice and a stance, not just on Twitter or on Instagram or on Pinterest or Facebook, but on the streets. We need practical human relationships to rule the information dissemination. So what we have done, unfortunately, is we've relegated receiving and disseminating information only on social media. But it really has to come from a more personal experience. It has to come from a real conversation with a real person. Did you know that today they have the ability to take a picture of someone and manipulate that picture so it looks like that person is, say, being interviewed on TV, and you can manipulate even the voice to sound like, say, Mark Zuckerberg or Leo Paddlinghug or Pope Francis or President Trump, and have them say exact opposite things, and people who are less discerning are going to believe it. And that is why I'm walking away. My carryout order is to really try to get more personal with people. That's why I'm actually doing Facebook Lives. I'll be doing that at certain times throughout the week. And I want to try to find a regular set in time, a day and time, to do that so that you can hear it directly from me. It's just kind of shocking, actually, that there is an effort to silence voices on social media, but you can't silence the March for Life. Even though the media doesn't want to talk about it on the news, but there are hundreds and thousands of people at this March for Life walking for the cause of life. And people may not want to pay attention to it, but it is there. And the people who go, because they make a personal effort to do so, they don't just simply leave pro-life efforts to just, you know, a few people on the radio. Nope. You got to get out there. Have more personal relationships with people. You know, there is one last thing too. In order to know the truth, you have to get to the source of the truth. But if there are blocks and barriers that people are putting up to prevent you from accessing the source of a truth, I believe that is diabolical. And I believe that there is diabolical activity that is happening in the social media world. And please, I'm not one of these people who just wants to creep people out or to incite, you know, like this religious furor against liberals or big tech companies. No, I think that they have a real value. They bring a real value to our modern world and can help us in our faith. But we also know that if the people that are in charge of big tech companies are not formed well, then it can become diabolical. It really can become diabolical. And so what do we need to do? As Eric was talking about, we need to have insiders, people who are on the inside, who are pro-life. You got to be careful, first of all. You got to kind of like see yourself as a covert spy for the truth. And you got to be willing to speak up, even if it does cause great sacrifice on your part. You know, for all of our premium subscribers, you're actually going to hear another deeper conversation with Eric Cochran, because he's going into one of my Learning from Leftovers deeper dish discussions. It's for our premium subscribers, those who are able to donate just $10 or more each month. They get more access to just more exclusive stuff. But for Eric, he actually shares with me a little bit more about him, his life, and his faith. And you'd be very surprised about who he is and what he's all about and what he believes. It's incredibly interesting. So I encourage you to do that. But you know what? Had I not had a conversation with him personally and just gone directly to the source, I think that I would be participating by act of omission, you know, omitting to do something good. I do believe that there is evil that kind of manipulates the minds of people in powerful positions. And so what Eric suggests, and I agree, let's make sure that we have good people with informed consciences working in these tech industries who can help either expose or be a positive influence on those people. And certainly make sure that we pray for these folks too. So there's just a lot here, and I hope that you're getting something out of it. And I want to thank Eric Cochran once again for joining me on the phone, and to our sponsors at selectinternationaltours.com, 800-842-4842. I see their work in a way collaborating with mine, because they're getting people out of their pews and turning them into pilgrims for the world, so that we get back to the source of the truth, which is our faith, which is a pilgrimage and a journey. So for all of you who are supporting us, I want to thank you. And for all listening, please encourage family and friends, share this story with them, invite them to subscribe on their favorite podcast platform. And between now and the next time that we shoot the shiitake, stay hungry.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a Select International Tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.